This hour of Overdrive, powered by ESET. Protect your PCs, smartphones, and tablets with ESET, official IT partner of Rogers Cup.
Hour number two, Overdrive for a Getaway Friday. Mail it in. That's why we're here. Jim Tatney and Josh Lewenberg subbing for the regulars.
Tune in.
Who were subbing for the regulars. It's a long list. By the way, I talked about the airport. Pearson International expected to handle 172,000 travelers today, which is a record. And they'll be greeted if you're going to the States. I wish you well. U.S. Customs and Border Protection systems are down, affecting airports nationwide. And that means that customs officers are processing passengers' documents manually.
Oh, good timing for that.
Yeah, so it's going to be a long... You have to have, again, patience. The way it is now, when I came back from my trip, you just go to a little kiosk and you input your declaration sheet, and it comes out as a sort of a receipt. You use your passport, obviously, and then you just sort of show it, and it's not the normal manual inspection that it used to be based on, I guess, how you answer your declaration sheet.
If you don't have it, get Nexus.
Yes.
Get Nexus.
Well, you would know that.
Yes. No, absolutely. It saved hours off of my, well, probably days off of my life. The amount of time that it saves you both coming and going. It's a lifesaver. There are people that are on the Raptors beat that travel full-time, more than I do even, that still don't have Nexus to this day, and it amazes me just because the amount in which it changes your travel experiences, it's night and day.
Well, who needs another wait at an airport?
This has been your Nexus commercial.
That's right. And so how big a procedure is it to get that?
It's a bit of a... It's a bit of a process. You've got to go through the interview process, and if you're getting, I think if you're getting it done at Pearson, they're always so far booked that you've got to wait a few months to do it.
So where else can you get it done? Does it have to be there?
No, I think you can get it done. I think you can get it done in St. Catharines, or like by Niagara, somewhere in that area.
Like a regional office?
Yeah, something like that.
But right here in Toronto, it has to be.
It has to be Pearson.
Oh,
so there's a wait for the meetings and or the interview or whatever it is, and that's already after you have to go through the background check and fill out the application and all that. It's a bit of a process, but worth it. $50 too.
$50. Yes, sir. Your appointment is 5:00 on Wednesday. Can you be there? Sure.
In 7 months from now, eight months from now.
Sure, I'll fight through the traffic and get there.
Yeah.
Well, anything that saves time. So that's the word is out that the U.S. Customs and Border Protection systems are down. And if you're going to the States, we wish you well. That's all I can
good luck.
Say. Yeah, good luck sort of sums that up. Leo Rutans will be by very shortly to talk about FIBA and the Raptors. Yes Guy, No Guy, sanctioned at 5:30. 5:45, Sound Wars at 6:05. Keegan Matheson, 6:25, Jabari Greer talking about the NFL and then best bets. And we're out the door. The weekend is here. And when I look at it, I mean, you know, 2 weeks until the Labor Day weekend, where'd the summer go?
No, seriously. And as I said earlier, with for my schedule with the Raptors going until June, winning the championship, obviously, I'm not complaining about that. Who knows when if we'll see it again, right? I don't think too many people are feeling sorry for me there. But no, it's been a short summer and it's been a quick summer. It's flying by. And even now, with the evenings are starting to get chilly here, it's a little depressing, Taddy. Where did the summer go?
It only gets depressing when they hit the dimmer on the light switch and, you know, at 6:00.
Yeah.
That's my definition of depressing. Also, we're going to watch tonight. The Jays are hosting the Mariners, and Wagaspack pitches for the Jays and Edmonton and Toronto in CFL football. Our coverage starts at 7 with Mike Hogan on TSN 1050 live from BMO Field. So two things to watch tonight, at least two things. And obviously there's the hockey stuff out there. And I was shocked, you know, you come in after being out of the country and the Marner story is still there and the RFA story is still there. So we'll see what transpires that way. The NBA doesn't have any issues that way.
No, well, the NBA is on vacation now. It's a well-earned vacation for a lot of those guys and the players, the front office execs, especially for the guys like on the Raptors working into June and then July with free agency. August and September is usually the quiet time of the year. But if you are following or participating in FIBA basketball here, these guys are busy right now in Australia. You mentioned the things to watch tonight.
Yeah.
If you are up at 5:25 a.m. Eastern, you could watch the rematch of Canada-Australia. Canada coming off of a 20-point win, an upset 20-point win over the host Australian Boomers this morning, and they looked good. It was a big win for them.
90-70 was the final score. With more on that, Leo Rotens, our TSN Raptors and NBA analyst, will join us at Leo Rotens is the Twitter account. He's on Puppy Patrol, but it's breaking away from that. Leo, how are you today, sir?
How do you know that?
I watch the Twitter account. I mean, I get a daily update. These guys are growing, aren't they?
Oh, man, my young burger's approaching 70 pounds already at 6 months. He's going to be a monster.
Wow. So joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline is Leo Rotens. The 90-70 win, what was your take on that?
Oh, it was a good win. I mean, I think you got to be careful in the friendly games. You know, in FIBA, there's a lot of playing possum. There's a lot of trying this, trying that. Nobody really shows their hand. And the more experienced FIBA team you play, the more you see a lot of different things when the real competition starts. So I think the main thing for Canada was it was a good show, and it was a good opportunity for guys just get a feel for one another. And I think Nick, more importantly, Nick Nurse gets an opportunity to again kind of see who can do what in different situations, and he gets more comfortable with the guys as well.
Leo, Corey Joseph still not with the team in Australia. Some mixed reports on his status. Any word on where he is and when he's expected back?
No, haven't heard much, to be honest with you. And, you know, I think, you know, I've said this before when all this started. I think at this point, you worry about the guys you got. And if Corey does show up, he shows up. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And there's not much you can do about it. So I think that, you know, the guys that are there have to continue to play, continue to grow together, continue to build and get comfortable with one another. So, you know, like I said, there's not much you can do about it. And I've expressed it a million times that the FIBA scheduling is horrible, right? It's you want to get the best players to play. This is not the way to do it leading into an NBA training camp. So, you know, I feel bad that, you know, Canada can't have their best guys out there at the same time. I love the guys that are playing, and I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised at what they're going to see.
I'll ask you about one of the guys that's there in Andrew Nembhard, another point guard, a player that I was really impressed with last year when he was playing for Canada during the summer, and now this year, small sample size so far, but really looking poised in the fourth quarter of that exhibition opener against Nigeria, and then taking advantage of Corey Joseph not being around this morning. You can really see, even in a year, the difference in the growth and the maturity spending a season at Florida has done for him. What do you think this experience playing, especially under Nick Nurse and an NBA system for an NBA head coach, what do you think this experience will do for him as a 19-year-old?
Well, I think it's fantastic for him. I mean, I thought he had a great freshman year at Florida. I've seen Andrew for a long time now and watched him play. And, you know, he's an old school point guard, man. He does so many good things on the floor. He's really smart, deceptively athletic. He just plays with so much confidence and poise. So, you know, having this experience now, and to be alongside a player and learning from a player like Kevin Pangos, you know, coming from the kind of the same environment and at the same time, here's a guy that's been playing high-level EuroLeague ball. And whether it's the NBA or high-level EuroLeague, you can still take a lot away from a point guard like Kevin Pangos. So I think it's great for Andrew, and I think it really gets to show him in a different platform. And that's why I always like to tell guys when you're playing FIBA, especially the younger guys, you know, teams, NBA, they all see you in the regular places, right? They'll see you in college, they'll see you in AAU, they'll see you in the regular circuits. To see you in this platform where you're playing against, you know, men, pros, physicality, and you have to play team ball, I think it really shows a lot of people what you're capable of and what you're made of. So here's a guy that was considering turning pro, wisely decided not to, and now is just going to expand his game and definitely is going to be a pro down the road.
Leo, let's chat a bit about Nick Nurse. What did you learn about him last year that maybe you weren't expecting? And this FIBA situation, without a lot of regulars, he's going to have to, I'm not going to say pull a rabbit out of the hat, but he's got to be creative, which sort of leads into what he has to do with the Raptors this year, doesn't he?
Well, you know what? That's Nick. I mean, as soon as you say the word creative, I'll be honest with you, I can't remember the last time I've been around a coach And you know, I made the point during the season for the Raptors, you know, whether it be trades, load management, injuries to key players, this guy, nothing fazed him. It was almost like, hey, you know, this is a little game I can play right now. Okay, what can I do here? How do I make up for this? Who can I move into what slot? And how are we going to make this work? A lot of coaches get rattled. A lot of coaches get, you know, when things get out of whack and they don't have what they're expecting to work with, it really screws around with them. And not Nick. His creativity is off the charts. His calm and cool is perfect for FIBA. Because one of the experiences that he talked a lot about is the G League, where you could have different lineups literally day to day. And he's coached in FIBA, where a lot of things happen. They're unpredictable. Same thing, player changes are common. And he showed he can deal with in the NBA. So, you know, he's really made for this type of environment. So, you know, when everybody's talking about who's there, who's not, there's one guy I know who's not worried about it. Sure, he'd love to have the most talent he could on the floor. But Nick Nurse is just coaching and having fun, and you got to respect him for that.
So that creativity or open mind that he approaches things with, did you see that in other coaches, and who does that remind you of, or does it?
You know what? I've seen coaches that are creative, but I don't know if I've ever seen anybody that's just so loose and so, like I said, nothing bothers him. Nothing gets under his skin. He's been in some really high pressure situations, from game seven, Philadelphia 76ers being down to the Milwaukee Bucks, playing the Golden State Warriors. He's been in so many situations already that are high pressure, and I just never see him get rattled. And I really don't remember seeing a coach that takes that much pleasure out of making something out of nothing. Most coaches like to know exactly what they're dealing with all the time. And for Nick, it's almost like, the weirder you make it, the more fun it is for him.
And it's something, Leo, that Nick has always prided himself on, right? I mean, it was a big reason why he got the Raptors job. It's probably something that Canada Basketball really liked about him as well, is his adaptability and the fact that he can roll with the punches. And we talk about his NBA resume, but even going back to his time with Great Britain and not knowing who he was going to have available, or in the D League, an experience that he talks about all the time with guys going up and going down and the roster changing every day, is you need to be a guy in those situations that can roll with the punches.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, hey, FIBA basketball is crazy.
Yeah.
People complain about NBA refs. I will never complain about an NBA ref after coaching and playing in FIBA. So you're going to be dealing with crazy situations with officials. You're playing these friendly games, and believe me, friendly games are not friendly, and there's a lot of weird stuff that happens in those games. You're going to have players getting sick from food, getting sick from travel. Getting injuries at the last minute. You don't have a lot of flexibility in FIBA because, I mean, once your roster is set, there's no 15-man roster where you got all these extra guys you can just rotate in when somebody goes down. So you really have to be ready to adapt to any situation. So I honestly don't know if they could have a better guy at the helm in this type of environment.
So looking at the roster that Nick does have to work with or without Corey Joseph, do you see a guy or guys that are capable of really taking over a game offensively, or does it even matter if they move the ball and generate open looks the way that they've been doing through stretches here in these first three preseason games?
Well, I think one thing they can do is play great defense, okay? You got enough guys that can get down, dig in, play great defense, and you want to create as many opportunities for yourself and try to stay in. Keep giving yourself a chance in every game you play in. They have weapons to shoot the basketball, and they're going to have great movement. So you're not going to have that Kawhi Leonard that's going to, just take over a game and give you, a crazy game whenever you need it. You've got a group of guys that can all play, have experience. I like their backcourt. I think their backcourt is solid. It's an excellent FIBA backcourt. You've got, like I said, you've got length and shooters. So this isn't a team that's going to overwhelm you with one guy. And I think, again, that kind of fits into Nick is going to find ways to get the most out of each of these guys once he gets more and more comfortable and sees what they're capable of doing. And, you know, you got to remember, a lot of these guys have been playing with each other, too. You know, they've experienced playing with one another. And you kind of have that mentality, too, where everybody's talking about who's not there. So for these guys, it's like, okay, you know what? Screw this. Let's show everybody what we can do. And you kind of band together, and it's us against them kind of mentality. And these guys are mentally tough. So, you know, like I said, it's not going to be one guy each night. I think you're going to have different guys stepping up at different times.
So, Bill, does an upset win over Australia last night winning 23-13 in the final quarter for a 90-70 win. Did you see elements in this game or the victory that maybe you didn't expect to see, and what does it mean?
Again, I don't want to downplay a victory. At the same time, like I said, friendly games in these competitions, I could spend 2 hours on radio telling you everything I saw in the friendly games that went.
Well, let's do that.
Yeah,
it's a quiet time of year.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got time.
I mean, the friendly. I don't put too much weight on wins or losses, for that matter. But what I did like is, you know, they shot the ball, they moved the ball, the backcourt played well, defensively they did a good job, and you know, when they can get out and run, and they're going to create a lot of opportunities, just again like the Raptors did, by getting out in transition and loosening up the game. You know, a lot of these FIBA teams, and I'll use Australia as an example. Australia is they're usually, in general, when you talk about an Australian team, high IQ, extremely physical. They want to beat the daylights out of you every time you come up and down the floor. And, you know, their big guys were kind of negated in this game. And that tells you that the Raptors were playing fast enough to make them less of a factor. They couldn't just beat up on Canada. So, you know, I like that. I like the fact that they can do that and they can have that flexibility. And so it's going to be interesting. But again, I wouldn't put a lot of weight on any wins or losses leading up to this. I mean, it's all prep.
So let's fast forward a little bit and look ahead to the tournament. First things first, Canada's going to have to get past at least one of Australia or Lithuania in order to get out of the first round, have to be top two there. The qualifying system, a little bit complicated, but my understanding of it, you've got to be top two in the end among the teams in the Americas for Canada to qualify for the Olympics?
Yeah, yeah, and that's not going to be easy. I mean, you know, you've got to assume that, you know, I think everybody assumes the United States is going to be, you know, grabbing that one spot. And you've got a lot of good America's teams. I mean, Brazil is starting to stack up again. You know, Argentina is solid. You know, we've seen teams like Venezuela, although I think they're tapered off a little bit. But we've seen them in international competition step up and play well. Puerto Rico, things like that, teams like that. But, you know, Canada, it's not going to be easy. And, you know, even with all their NBA players, there's no easy route. There's no guarantee because, like I said, FIBA's just can be crazy and unpredictable, and you got these different pools, and when you have crossovers and you end up getting matchups, I mean, anything can happen. So it's literally just take it one day at a time, and you can't spend a lot of time thinking about where you have to finish. You just got to play each game like it's your last game, and have a little luck on your side too.
Leo, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Enjoy. A lot of fun watching these games.
Absolutely. Thank you. Leo Rotens, TSN Raptors and NBA analyst. At Leo Rotens is the Twitter account. He joined us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Are you leasing a Toyota? You could qualify for a brand new Toyota at no extra cost during Maple Toyota's lease renewal event. Visit mapletoyota.com/lease for your opportunity there. I love this stuff, but it's almost like there's too much. What's your take on the FIBAs?
Are you going to be? I want to know if you're going to be up at 5:30 this morning to watch game two.
I have anybody cares. I have a bad shoulder from the backpack and the trip,
so you might not have a choice to be up at 5:30.
And I got the 5-hour time difference from where I was,
yeah.
So I'm a mess this week. So I actually may be up to watch it. It could happen.
All right, I'm going to watch it on delay. Okay. I'll watch it at a reasonable hour.
And so for you to do that, you have to do a social media freeze, right?
Well, I mean, it's not like I'm going to a movie. It's not like I can't have a spoiler. I can know what happens. I just want to know how it happened. Do you, okay. you go in fresh when you watch a sporting event on PVR or whatever?
No, I know the result, and I'm not too like you. I'm not worried about the result. I want to see how it happened, because that's what we deal with.
It's the other things that I'm a lunatic about. During the playoffs, obviously, it was the big Game of Thrones end of the last season. Yeah. And I'm the crazy person, literally, that's going on Twitter. And I am, first of all, muting all the people that I follow that would be tweeting about it. But then also, I muted probably 100 words on Twitter, like names, words, anything Game of Thrones related. I'm muting Thrones, I'm muting Dragon, I'm muting anything even slightly related to Game of Thrones. So worried, because of course I have to be on Twitter. The finale was on a Sunday night. It was the same night as one of the Raptors games in the playoffs. I think it was a finals game, if I'm not mistaken. So I couldn't, or maybe conference finals. So there was no way around being on Twitter. And actually, I successfully navigated around the spoilers.
Well, and the problem with this is, I mean, you could delete a lot of stuff, but all you have to do is click it to find the time, and the notifications come up, and you go, thank you.
And it's, I find it's always the last person or the last way that you expect it to be ruined or spoiled that actually does it. You could go through all this effort to mute words on Twitter, and then you'll be walking past somebody. You'll be standing next to somebody in line for, like, the urinal or something at the arena, and somebody will spoil something.
Yeah, shame about. And oh, thank you. Thanks for that. Delete.
Yeah.
Coming up next, the officially sanctioned, that doesn't happen often here in this particular broadcast, the officially sanctioned yes guy, no guy. You're listening to Overdrive on TSN 1050 on the TSN app and watching on TSN 4. Welcome back to Overdrive, TSN 1050, TSN 4, also available on the TSN app. Jim Taddy subbing for the regular host, Brian Hayes, who is being subbed by Gord Miller and David Naylor yesterday. I mean, the sub list is unbelievable. And, of course, Josh Lewenberg, our Raptors insider here as well, subbing for the other two. So there's a lot of subbing going on here.
We're the D-squad.
Yeah, it's getaway day, so everybody got away but us. But nonetheless,
we're the version of the team that's going to be playing for Canada at the at the FIBA World Cup.
Yes, a list of apologies for those who couldn't make it, and here we are, and yes, we're making it work.
Do you want to be Brady Heslip or Melvin Edgem?
I want to be Brady.
Oh, damn it.
Burlington kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I've
the best, in my opinion, I've been saying this for years, the best shooter that's not in the NBA.
We'll see, right? At some point that'll happen.
He hasn't had his opportunity. He's had a small opportunity in training camp with the Raptors and a few other places, but he's never really gotten a chance in the NBA. And I think, I mean, hey, every team needs more shooting. I think size is the biggest thing with Brady. Defensively, there's always been questions. But a guy that can shoot like that, telling me you can't find a few minutes for him on an NBA team? Melvin Edgem as well. I'm shocked that he's not an NBA player.
Well, I'm going to throw to this old school, because Mulls, this will be a special thrill for Mulls, who is the guru. He keeps the show together, and it took some work today. Time now for my favorite game.
Yes, guy. No, guy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, drivers and passengers, time now for the officially sanctioned Overdrive edition of Yes, Guy, No, Guy, which happens extremely rarely here. And Josh is, he doesn't have any questions, so we'll have to bring the grappler in.
I'm having flashbacks here. Jim Taddy used to be my teacher, so this is like flashbacks of not doing my homework and getting scolded by the Tat Man.
I was going to bring in the Mark book. I still have it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so that was, what, 8 years ago at Centennial?
I think it was more. It was almost a decade ago.
Wow.
Almost 10 years ago. And then I asked Jim Taddy, who is just a day oneer at TSN Radio, which had just launched in 2011, if he could get me an internship. You said yes, guy, for some reason. You saw something in me. I still don't know what, but you saw something in me.
You were ready at the time.
That's why this is, I'm interrupting Yes, Guy, No, Guy, but this is, I don't want to get sentimental here and ruin Yes, Guy, No, Guy, but this is really cool. I mean, we've worked together a lot, but to host the Drive show on TSN Radio with probably the single most important person in my career.
Oh, wow.
Is very cool. Well, I'm not sure I'd be sitting here today if not for Jim Taddy.
I'm looking around. I don't, I don't see
no tissues.
I don't know. I don't see any money here.
So. I thought you were going to get sentimental. No, I mean,
is 5% too much to ask? I mean, come on.
Okay, never mind. I take it all back. No royalties for Teddy.
Wow. I mean, a finder's fee, something.
I take it all back.
Small stipend. I mean,
it's in the mail.
Have you met the person with too much money? I haven't.
It's in the mail.
Nonetheless, let's proceed with Yes Guy, No Guy. So Yes Guy, No Guy number one, Nick Nurse will use his FIBA experience to better himself as a Raptors head coach.
Yes Guy. Yeah, I mean, it's all, I think any kind of experience is helpful. It's not going to hurt, right? I mean, I think in general, it's like if you're a player, the more games you play, the better you're going to be. As a coach, you need those reps too. And especially Nick Nurse, I mean, he's had a lot of experience in international basketball, in the D League, now in the NBA, but he's still relatively young. So yeah, I think this experience, especially because it's going to be a challenging one to get this team without the NBA players to qualify for the Olympics, whether they do it or they don't, it's going to be a challenge. And I think it's going to make him better because, as we talked about with Leo, he's going to have to get really, we know he's creative. He's going to have to get really creative.
Grappler, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as much as I do think he's going to use this FIBA experience to his benefit, I do also feel that, you know, just like as, you know, rookies come into the league in any sport and, you know, other teams and players need to adjust to them, Nick Nurse isn't going to surprise anyone anymore. He's an NBA champ. So people are going to make adjustments to his coaching style, and he's going to have to find a way to kind of get past that. So I do think the FIBA experience will help him, but, you know, still a lot of work to do.
Okay, I've got one. I'm going to improvise.
Breaking.
Is that how this works?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to jump in here with my own.
It's a free-for-all. Go for it.
So we know Gilbert Arenas is recently speaking about Vince Carter and his decision to come back for a record-setting 22nd season in the NBA. Was critical of it. Arenas basically saying that he's taking an opportunity away from a younger player that could have that roster spot. Vince Carter returning for the 22nd season and taking a spot from a younger guy, it's okay. Yes Guy or No Guy?
Yes Guy, it's fine. You know, I agree with you want to make way for younger players, but if you think you have, I mean, you have to be true to yourself. If you think you have something left, why would you give that up? I mean, you have to live with the fact that you're not going to play again when you hit that, and it's an irreversible decision. So if you're not ready, you're not ready. That's the way I look at it.
I would agree. I mean, first of all, I wrote something when Vince Carter was here for his previous final game in Toronto, which of course turned out not to be his final game in Toronto. I spoke to 21 of his former teammates and asked them to tell me a Vince Carter story. And many of them that are young guys or were young guys when they played with Vince Carter talked about his veteran leadership and how great of a mentor he was. So I don't buy this narrative that, I mean, Gilbert's talking about here, that he's hurting young guys by continuing to play. I think if anything, he's helping young guys, the young guys that are on his team, by providing that mentorship and veteran leadership that clearly all of those guys appreciate, and I think it's probably made them better players down the line.
Mr. Grappler.
Yeah, I've got no issues with it. I mean, I do see where Gil is coming from, but, I mean, Vince is a Hall of Famer. He can play until he's 65 and gray all over, as far as I'm concerned.
We're going to be doing this for the foreseeable future, every year. Final game in Toronto.
Well, you just have to add one player, because you already have 21,
yeah, I
right?
Do.
So you just add one each year.
We're all agreeing on all of these questions, which isn't very fun. Let's we need to find a polarizing one.
Let's see. Yes Guy, No Guy, are you drinking the Blue Jays Kool-Aid?
No Guy. Hard. No Guy.
Well, there's a reversal. Okay.
As I said earlier, it's a long season. The good teams will have their valleys and the bad teams will have their peaks, and this is nothing more than that. It is a glimpse of the future, because we are seeing what the Bo Bichettes and the Vlad Guerreros and even some of these other guys, Teoscar Hernandez has been hitting, and Grichuk has been better. Danny Jansen's been up and down all year. So there's talent here. There's no question about it. This isn't the worst team in baseball, but they've got a long way to go, as we also talked about earlier in the show. So, no, I don't think all of a sudden they're turning the corner because Bo Bichette was called up.
Grappler, what do you think?
Honestly, I disagree. I am drinking the Kool-Aid.
Wow.
No, listen, I'm Mr. Producer Blue Jays. We've been through this. But honestly, like, watching them the last few weeks, you know, last couple weeks since Bo was called up, it's the most excited I've been watching baseball, or Jays baseball, since they were eliminated by the Indians in the ALCS in 2016. So the way I look at sports now is youth. There's always a youth movement in every sports. Rebuilds come more and more quickly. Same with the Leafs. Look at the 2014 Astros. They were a terrible team in 2014, went on a run to make the playoffs in 2015. I'm not saying these Blue Jays are going to be that, but I could see us having a conversation in September next year where it's, you know what, the Jays maybe aren't going to reach the playoffs, but I think they'll be in position for one next season.
How many of their pitchers can you pick out of a lineup? If your life depends.
Silence from the grappler.
Probably.
Silence from the grappler. Noted.
Maybe crickets. I could do Sean Reed, Foley, and Baraki. That's about it. Maybe Thomas Pinone.
Wow.
Giles.
Mulls. I mean, I just want to make sure that everybody's sane back there. Mulls, are you drinking the Kool-Aid?
No, not yet.
Good,
I mean,
good man.
Like the Grapp said, it is fun watching it right now, but I need to see a little more over time before I start drinking that Kool-Aid.
Good man.
It's the first time all season that I've been able to watch them without wanting to gouge my eyes out. So there's that.
Guy.
There's that, at least. They're fun. They're fun. They're young and they're exciting. They're fun, but they're a long ways from good.
Here's one for you specifically, Josh. Uh-oh. The Nets now have new ownership.
Yes.
And so the yes guy, no guy, the Nets are the emerging power in the East.
No guy. Well, it depends when we're talking about this emergence, because this year I think a lot of people are excited about them this year, but they don't have Kevin Durant. They're Kyrie Irving and a bunch of good role players. So they're not going to be better than the Celtics were last year, who were Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, Tatum, and Brown, and then a bunch of good role players. This is a lesser team than that Celtics team was. Maybe the chemistry is different or better, but remember, it was Kyrie that was criticized for the reason why chemistry wasn't great with Boston last year. So I'm not buying it. They're a playoff team. They were a playoff team last year. They're going to be a playoff team again this year. The real question is, when Kevin Durant does come back, where does this team fit in the Eastern Conference? And given how wide open the conference is right now, yeah, there's an opportunity there. But what I love about the NBA right now, it's not just the East, the NBA as a whole, even in the West, is there is no overwhelming favorite. People are loving the LA teams right now, the Clippers and the Lakers and all of that, but the bottom line is there isn't a team that I would feel confident throwing all my money on. It's wide open. It's going to be probably as much an exciting season with parity and all of that as we've seen in a long time. And so even when Durant comes back, I think Brooklyn will be in the mix. But no, I'm not buying that they're like the next great team, the next dynasty, because, of course, Durant will be coming off a serious injury. And he's getting up there in years. I don't think he's going to be the player. I think he's going to be still very good, but I don't think he's going to be the player that we remember, that we saw.
Okay, let's do some rapid fire with Grappler. What do you have?
All right, so I feel like I know the answer based on the lack of Jay's Kool-Aid being drank on your side of the glass.
Wow.
Yes guy, no guy. Bo Bichette and Vlad Jr. are both Hall of Famers come the end of their career.
Oh, wow.
It's not too early for that.
Wow. Well, I'm going to say yes guy. Just because I'm a positive guy. Yes guy.
I'm going to say no guy because I'm a realistic guy, and the odds are not in their favor. I'm going to say one of them will be, one of them won't. I'm not going to say which one it is.
No, that's fair enough. Okay, moving on. Yes guy, no guy. RJ Barrett leads the Knicks to the postseason this coming year.
Ooh, no guy.
Hard no guy.
No guy.
They might be one of the worst teams. They might be the worst team in the NBA.
All right, can't argue with that.
Then again, Charlotte's pretty bad.
There's a few out there.
Charlotte's pretty bad. There's a few in the East.
Moving on. Yes guy, no guy. Zion Williamson beats the Raptors on opening night this year.
Oh. Yes guy.
No guy.
Oh. Yes guy.
Yes guy, no guy. Father Time continues to be undefeated and takes down Tom Brady at some point during this NFL season.
Oh. Wow. Yes guy.
Who's playing longer, Vince Carter or Tom Brady? I guess Tom Brady.
Get rid of these guys.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm going to say no guy. Tom Brady is going to outlive us all.
No, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, I feel like for the last, what, 5-6 seasons, every year it's been, you know, when's his time going to come? And I'm done waiting for it.
Here's the play-by-play. Oh, a freak injury. I don't know how it happened. He's not
down
coming back.
Down goes Brady.
He's not coming back. What a way to end it.
I've learned a long time ago, the Patriots, you never rule out. The San Antonio Spurs, you never rule out. They will always be relevant. They will always find a way, somehow, some way, to be relevant.
You didn't mention Tom Brady, though.
I don't know. I mean, Spurs with DeMar DeRozan now, I feel like I can kind of...
Anything else, Grappler?
Yeah, I got a couple more. Yes guy, no guy. Daniel Jones supplants Eli Manning as starting QB of the Giants sometime this year.
No guy.
Yes, guy. That is going to
That's
be
like
a
to
bad team. Yes. A bad, bad team. Good luck, Saquon Barkley.
And all right, one more. This is an easy one. Yes, guy, no, guy. The Leafs make the playoffs this coming season.
Oh, come on. Malls, how do you work with this guy? What kind of a question is that?
It's a struggle, let me tell you.
Oh, boy, that's... I'm going to give it the old wave.
No comment.
Yeah.
I want to be welcome back.
How do you describe describe the wave on radio for our listeners? That's, not everyone's watching.
Well, that's...
this guy's such an idiot here.
That's pretty well what he's telling you. He gives you the wave because
he's such an idiot here.
There you go. Yeah, it's nobody's fault. Out of our control.
All right, I'm done. Moving on.
Set of circumstances. It's no one's fault.
Those are the two classics of all time. Well, there's a couple of others. But
Mitch Marner will sign by the end of our show, forcing me to talk hockey. Yes, guy. No, guy.
Yes, guy. Sure, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen by 7 o'clock. Here. We've got an hour and 20 minutes. An hour and 20 minutes for him to do it.
Hayes is nowhere in sight, so it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's a lock.
Okay.
Coming up next, he's
got to wait till 7:01.
That's right, 7:01. After the News Talk 1010 traffic update breaking. No, maybe not today, but at some point. Coming up next, we'll do the Sound Wars again. Take two on the Sound Wars. The OMG bracket. Round two, seed two against seed six. You are listening to Overdrive and TSN 1050. Streaming online. And it's streamlined as well. And watching on TSN 4.
This is TSN 1050's Sound Wars.
They did it, Taylor!
Oh, yes, they did. This is the OMG bracket. Round two, seed two against seed six. Kawhi shot, second round, game seven, Raptors against the Sixers, and I think you may recall the rest.
They get it to Leonard, drives right, down to the baseline, fall away for the win! Got it! And danced on the rim! It hit four rims and went down! Toronto wins! Oh my goodness!
So I mentioned earlier, I didn't know it was in until I could see the net ripple. You had a different sight line than I did. When did you know it was in?
When it went in, I thought it was going to rim out. I was already typing. I think I typed overtime on Twitter. Luckily, I didn't hit send. So people ask what my initial reaction of the shot was. I actually don't remember, as I think most people don't remember just because it was so surreal. But I think the first thing that I did was delete that tweet.
Delete that tweet.
Not overtime.
Well, and it's one of those, because you've seen many balls bounce in the rim, it's 50-50. You don't know where it
and
goes.
And just bounced four times.
So that one goes up against this one. This will be Kawhi's dunk on Giannis in Game 6 of the Conference Finals following a steal by Kyle Lowry. Kawhi puts the icing on the cake.
Middleton drives, cut off, stolen by Lowry. On the run, Lowry to Leonard. Down to down! He threw it in the face of Giannis Antetokounmpo! Kawhi Leonard with punctuation! Oh, baby, what a play by Kawhi!
What I love about that play-by-play is the people in the background. The crowd is absolutely lit.
Oh, that arena. I mean, the last few years, obviously going back to that first year back in the playoffs, that series against Brooklyn, it was electric in there. I'm not sure that I've ever heard it as loud just because there was so much excitement. It was so new. But over the last few years, it had sort of become a little dull in there during the playoffs because I think a lot of people were just sort of, okay, yeah, they're going to win a round. Maybe they'll win two, but that was their ceiling. I think people were a little bit bored of it. But this year, the championship run, something that had never happened before, a historic thing. I mean, to see the way that fans came together and supporting the team and then ultimately, I mean, making for an electric atmosphere in that building, it was unforgettable, and especially, I said this at the time, you have to appreciate it, and you can't take it for granted, I think in general, because you never know what's going to happen in the NBA, but especially given the Kawhi situation and the fact that he ended up leaving, we don't know when this is going to happen again, if it's going to happen again, so this was a really fun year, a really cool year for Raptors fans, for me to cover it as a member of the beat media. And those two clips that we just heard, both of them are iconic. The videos were iconic. The pictures, that picture of the shot is iconic. Kawhi is gone, but he won't soon be forgotten.
Now it's up to you to vote on your favorite. Go to tsn1050.ca, decide which clip is moving on. You know, that story will always resonate, and there's a lot of builds that happened. There's the build of the crowd noise, which hit a new high by the game. Build of the Raptors' performance. Also, the build of the TV ratings, which hit numbers that you couldn't have predicted. And my favorite is the build of the 50-50 winnings, which went from basically 40K to a million bucks.
And the parade. I mean, speaking of things that we've never seen before, I mean, that was incredible. The amount of people in the streets that day, and I mean, it was not necessarily a well-organized parade, so it went on a whole lot longer than it probably should have, but I mean, hey, that's almost the beauty of what that moment was, is none of us knew what to expect, none of us were prepared for it, including the city, so everybody was just kind of taking it in and learning what a moment like that could and should be like together in that moment.
And you know, I think we've all done this in our minds, where you build that video essay. And the last shot is always Kawhi at the parade with the shot of the sunglasses, where you could see the crowd in the sunglasses, which is a remarkable photograph.
Another iconic picture that we'll be seeing for a long time.
Absolutely. It just sums it all up. I mean, and we don't have a lot of success stories that way in this city, so it won't be forgotten. Not that another championship would erase that, but... you know, those moments are few and far between, to say the very least. So don't know exactly what happens next, but we embrace it.
And it's strange and it's unprecedented, because normally, yeah, you win a championship, you come back, you defend it, and the Raptors are going to try. But I think if we're being realistic here, we understand that this is still going to be a good team, probably better than a lot of people think they're going to be. But they're not a championship contending team. The odds of them repeating are very, very low. So it's tricky, because at the same time, as we're still, they're still, fans are still, everyone is still celebrating what was an incredible historic moment, the championship. You're also now coming to terms with the reality that the guy most responsible for delivering that championship is gone. And now the question, of course, is where do they go next? This, I think, is going to be a transitional year, segueing to whatever comes next, probably the Pascal Siakam era. They're going to lock him down. They're going to extend him at some point. But then all these other guys, the veterans, Lowry, Gasol, Ibaka, they're probably not around for very much longer. You've got a lot of money to work with. So there are a lot of different paths that they could go in at this point. Yeah, even though they're in limbo and they're sort of in flux, I think going back to a conversation we had earlier, there is a lot of trust in Masai Ujiri amongst this fan base, as there should be. He's earned that trust. So even though this is a very unique and strange situation, and even though it's a situation that could be stressing a lot of people out in another scenario, in another situation, another city, where it's like, okay, well, where do they go from here? I think most people believe that Masai will find some way to get them back into the conversation among teams competing for a championship. It's not going to be this year. It might not be next year. But at some point in the near future, I think people believe that he'll find a way.
Well, and just because he has delivered the championship, and I'm not going to say by predictable means, he did surprise everybody with how he did it. You want to see what the next surprise is. I mean, this franchise really is maintaining and transitioning at the same time, which is not easily done.
And he's a guy that's shown over the years, He's opportunistic when it comes to his management style. He's not going to take a ton of big swings. I look at a guy like, I mean, Brian Colangelo, the guy that he replaced at the top of the Raptors front office. Colangelo was a guy, I don't think, that gets the credit for doing a lot of the things that he did well here in Toronto. Bringing in DeMar DeRozan, extending DeMar DeRozan, trading for Kyle Lowry, drafting Jonas Valanciunas. I mean, he did all of that, but he did a lot of things that didn't go so well either. Landry Fields and trading for Rudy Gay, and of course the drafting of and extending of Andrea Bargnani. So you look at a guy like Colangelo, and he is a GM that took a lot of big swings. Some of them were home runs, some of them were strikeouts, and that's going to happen when you take as many big swings as Colangelo did. I think at times, and he would always joke that sometimes it would take a lot of discipline to hang up the phone and not make the trade. He's like me as a fantasy sports owner. I'm just constantly making trades, offering producer Keith trades. It's tough to hold back sometimes, but Masai has been patient. He's held back. He's waited for that moment to take the big swing. And when you do that and you're opportunistic and you wait and you find the right time, oftentimes it's going to work out. I think Daryl Morey in Houston is a good example of that, waiting for the right moment to go after his superstar and James Harden as well. And now they've got Russell Westbrook. So, again, I think most people are confident here that it's going to happen right away, and not that he's going to make a lot of big moves, that at the right time, when the time is right, when the guy is out there and available, that Masai is willing and able to take that big swing that's going to put the Raptors over the top and back where they were.
And I think if you ask the fan base, that's exactly what they would want out of their front office. Not exactly the set plan, but somebody who reads the situation. When we talk about how Nick Nurse coaches, again, a reactive, creative coach, and that's very engaging. So as we close off this hour, reminder, Keegan Matheson and Jabari Greer will join us in the next hour. Overdrive continues on TSN 2, SportsCenter with Corey Warren up next.
Champions on the tennis court know the key to success is building a lead, then protecting it.
Game, e-set, match.
When it comes to protecting your online security, score an ace with e-set, official IT partner of Rogers Cup. Just like elite athletes, e-set provides unbeatable performance to keep all your child's back-to-school technology safe and secure. Visit your nearest Staples or Best Buy to take advantage of great back-to-school savings. Learn more at eset.ca. You've been listening to Overdrive, powered by ESET. Now at great back-to-school savings. Available at Staples, Best Buy, and ESET.ca.